Because today we're going to talk about the role of a mama. On Father's Day, Richie talked about the role of a good dad, the role of a good father. And he gave some amazing points on that. One of them really spoke to my heart, and it was a good dad pursues. Ooh, I love that. It was so good because it reminded me, and even this morning I was running, and the Lord just reminded me, I died for you, but I still pursue you. What God does that? What God dies for his people? And as parents, sometimes what do? You owe me. Right? We do that. As parents, sometimes we make a decision on snap decision. But today we're going to talk about what it looks like to walk in a biblical manner as a mama. And it doesn't matter if you are a mom right now, if you want to be a mom, if you're a teenager and you're not even there, if you're not thinking about that, all of us have a role and a responsibility. And these principles, yes, they apply specifically to mamas, but they also apply to every biblical Christian, every person that's a Christian, these principles apply to today. And so Richie did an awesome job giving a backdrop on what we're going to be talking about today. But the title of my message is called, If Mama Ain't Happy. If Mama Ain't Happy. I had an amazing, amazing mom. But we knew when mom was not happy and when we needed to scatter like little roaches. Get out of the way. Get out of the way when mom's not happy. And what I realized is how quickly I could do that with my kids and how much power it made me feel like I had. And then when I read in the Word, when God pursued us, he died for us and he pursued us, it convicts me to know that maybe I've been doing some things a little bit wrong because it made me feel good, but it didn't necessarily bring my kids, like Brock said a couple of weeks ago, to the foot of the cross. Maybe I've done some things that have actually harmed their relationship with the Lord in the long run because I was too easy to snap to a position or to try and regulate a behavior that I actually caused a little bit of damage. And so we're going to talk about some of those things today. But first, I want to just talk to you a little bit about what's happening in the backdrop here. So I'm a Florida girl. I'm a Florida baby. My toes are really wide, and the first two for flip-flops. I was made that way. I was made for them. I'm convinced of it. So we had this family vacation. If you know anything about our family, then you know we love to travel. Our girls are excellent. From little, they've traveled. Mia's first time on a plane, I think she was 2 months old, 3 months old. We just love to travel. It's how we recharge as a family. It's how we just connect. We put away our phones, and it's just us. We love it. It's just our thing. And so we know, like, every couple of months, we got to plan a trip, whether it's a day trip or something. We got to do that. That's just who we are. If we're going by what I want, we're going to the beach. We're going to the beach, or we're going, you know, somewhere where there's water. That's me. So inevitably, that's my option. But, you know, this year and last year we had planned this trip to Italy. I don't know if some of you know, we talked about it. We had this trip planned for like 10 years. We've been saving for it. And then COVID happened. It didn't happen. And then this year, we were supposed to go to Greece for a friend's wedding. COVID, still lockdown, didn't happen. So we tried to find the most international place we could find in Florida, Orlando. That's what we settled on. We settled on Orlando. So we decided we're going to Orlando, but in order for us to go, we got to have something for everybody. So the resort needed to have a slide for the girls. We needed, Richie just literally needs a lawn chair in the shade. And I needed a pool. I needed some water. I needed to be in the water. So we booked this hotel. We go, and we get there, and I, you know, COVID, because the glass and the mask, so I can't hardly understand what this individual is telling me right now. But I can make out the words when I'm checking in. The pool is under construction. Correct. Correct. So I'm like, I'm sorry. He goes, don't worry. We added in putt-putt golf. I was like, well, that's not going to work for me because I'm paying money for my vacation. This is what I wanted. I'm paying money for this vacation, and I want what I want. And he's like, but I'm sorry, ma'am. All of the downstairs is closed. Everything's closed. Except for the slides. Perfect. And the kiddie splash pad. Perfect. So I'm thinking in my mind, how is this going to help me? What, am I have to run around in this kiddie splash pad just to feel a little bit of vacation mode, right? So I'm like, girls, we're getting up to the room, and mommy's finding us another hotel. I'm not staying here. Okay, I'm not paying money for this. Long story short, it was not able to be done. And I was mad, and I was disappointed, and I was angry, and I was grumpy. And my girls are like, this is going to be great. And I'm like, I'm so mad. I just want to go home. I don't even want to be here. And Mia comes up and hugs me, and she goes, Mom, please be happy. And I was like, and I knew at that moment that I had an opportunity to manage my disappointment or to make my entire family miserable. And that's where it comes down to the hood part of it, mamas. Like, I'm about, someone hold my hoops, because I'm about to be hood in just 10 seconds. Or I can manage my disappointment in this moment. And I think a lot of times what we do is we approach parenting that way. And instead of stopping and taking a time out and saying, Lord, how can I manage my disappointment in this moment? Because what I want to do is I want to ruin my kid. I want them to pay. I want there to be a punishment for this situation. And I'm not against disciplining. I'm not against providing correction. None of those things. But when the Bible talks about in your anger, don't sin, we got to remember that. We got to stand in that when those moments of frustration rise to the point of, I'm just, this vein is about to burst. I don't know what to do. And when we can manage our disappointment, what we'll see is growth. Because a lot of us are praying for things in our kids and praying for things in ourselves. And God's saying, I'm not going to deliver that situation. I'm not going to deliver you from that situation. I'm going to put you in that situation and have you exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I've put inside of you so that that situation doesn't control your emotions anymore. He doesn't just remove the situation. How would we learn? How would we learn? So in our relationships with our spouse, what if I just every time he did something wrong that I was critical and criticized him and blah, 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 instead of remembering, wait a second, the Bible says I have the power of life and death in my tongue. So if I want to see something, I need to call it forth as though it is, not what I'm seeing. The same thing goes with our kids. If I want to see something inside of them, I got to deposit that seed. Because at this point in time, they're little hellions who are in need of a savior, not your hand. And that's the grace that we've been given. We are agents of grace for our kids. And that we have an opportunity every single day. And sometimes it feels like, especially in the dang summer, it feels like we have an opportunity every hour to speak life into our kids or to speak death. And it is a privilege, Mom. It is a privilege for us to be able to have that opportunity. So let's go over, I want to go over a few little things today, three things specifically, three ways that we operate sometimes in the weakness of our character. And then I want to talk about the strength of that. Some of you had seen it. I posted it was basically like toxic behaviors of a mom. And this was a list that many people participated in. And it was basically like some things that moms do that really do damage inside of us. And so I kind of posted this list out there and I said, which three do you guys think these are the worst or the most damaging? And a lot of people said all of them. All of them are really damaging. It was like eight. All of them. But the top three we're going to talk about today. And the first one is this, when we operate in the strength of our nature, the strength, not the hood part, the holy part. When we walk in the holy part of our nature, we spend more time in prayer and in the word. That means I have to get up every single day. And before one little voice calls my name, mommy, I need to be with Jesus. because he's going to tell me things for that day that I'm going to need. And if I'm not exercising that discipline, and if I'm not practicing that discipline, even if it's 15 minutes early, if I'm not up and prepared, I'm not receiving what I need for that day. And so when I step out into the world and 25,000 things come against me, I'm not going to have the armor. I'm not going to have the tools, the resources to be able to combat that, because I've been too tired. I can't handle it today. Like Richie said, we've got our armor on, but we're not doing anything with it. Instead of when I wake up and I spend time with the Word, and he gives me a specific word for that day. He's so faithful. I promise you that if you make a plan to meet with him daily, he will meet you. He's already there. He's already there waiting for you. So if you make that plan, if you sit with him in the morning and let him speak truth to you, I promise you, there are going to be things that come at you, but you're going to feel your heart enlarged. You're going to feel the grace of God overwhelm you. And then when that situation comes up, you're going to be like, okay, enemy, I see what you're doing here. And God's already provided covering for this moment. He's already provided it. So when we walk in the strength of our character, what we do is we make prayer and the word a priority. If we don't, and we walk in the weakness of that, we're more focused on spending more time reading self-help, parenting blogs, or worried about influencers. And this is where it gets sad, because you see a lot of families out there who post how these perfect pictures of their family and cute matching outfits and all these things, and they look all put together and wonderful. And when you see them in public, their life does not match what the images that you're seeing. And the sad reality is this, that we all can fake it, but you know who sees the truth? The people that are in your home. So they see mommy's blogs, but it doesn't match up with what they're feeling at home. And a lot of times, for me personally, I was saying a lot of nice things. My husband's a pastor. I can say a lot of nice things, but when I would go home, I would treat my children in a way that was not godly. It was not profitable for their salvation at all. And you have to recognize in those moments when the Lord is so quick and so beautiful that he convicts and he brings that conviction, that we repent of it. And then like Richie talked about two weeks ago, he talked about we confess it. We got to say to our kids, Mommy messed up. I blew it. And just like you're in need of a Savior, Mommy's in need of a Savior. And his grace is readily accessible to me, just like it's readily accessible to you. And that's how you make communication and running to Jesus instead of running to you a priority. Because your kids don't need to run to you for everything. They need to run to Jesus. And you can teach that at 5. You can teach that at 2. You can teach them how to pray. If you're struggling in school today, baby, just pray. God is with you. That's how we do that. The next thing is that when we walk in the strength is that we trust God. But when we walk in the weakness, we control and we manipulate. Just the very word manipulation is so demonic. It is so demonic. You feel the darkness of it. You feel it because you know exactly what's happening. And sometimes when we manipulate, I want you to listen. The top three are this. Personal attacks, that we do everything that we can to try and keep their self-esteem low so that it elevates us to a status where we feel respected. That's only going to work until they recognize, wait a second, this is a tactic. It's a tool, but it's powerless, because guess who controls them? They do. We have no control. You have no control over another human being. None. I don't care. You think I'm wrong? Take a 2-year-old to the grocery store and tell them they can't have candy. You do not have control over another human being, but you can exercise and teach a child how to walk in the ways of the Lord, how to exercise self-control, how to manage their emotions. We can do all of those things when we stay close to the Lord and when he's given us the grace for that day to be able to handle it. So that instead of slapping your 2-year-old in a frozen food aisle, you can say, that's not how we behave. That's not how we behave. The second way is invalidating feelings. You're fine. You're fine. It's not a big deal. You're fine. You're fine. You're not even hurt. It's fine. You're fine. This is really in an effort for us to toughen up our kids and to emotionally build them up and make them strong, we invalidate them sometimes. And the reason why that's damaging is because they don't learn to recognize emotionally when they're feeling something and they stuff it down. And the problem with that, although in the moment it corrects the behavior, suck it up, cupcake, in the moment it corrects the behavior, in the long term, they end up having to work backwards to a place of where they can recognize what they're feeling and then walk out their healing. Lord, who do you say that I am? The third way is this: we withdraw our love. If you are the type of parent or human, this is me, I'll be honest, who stonewalls, if my kid acts up, I'm like, I can't even look at you right now. You know what I mean? Like, you left the refrigerator open. I can't even look at you right now. You know, things like that. Like when we do things like that, not, that was an exaggeration, but you know what I mean? You won't make eye contact with him if they've done something. You won't physically give them a hug. I want you to think about in the moments when we've messed up so huge, when we've blown it so huge, what does your Heavenly Father do? He runs to you. In those moments when our kids are dancing on our last nerve and you want to just tear their behind apart, what would it look like if you gave them a hug? That was a hard place for me to get to. In that moment where I was like, I don't even want to look at you right now, much less give you a hug. It's a hard place to get to. But when we recognize Jesus ran after me, I got to run after them. Like Richie said, we got to pursue their heart. And he's so good at this with our girls. Sometimes I'll watch him and he's like, I'm like, I just yelled at him and he goes in there. And I'll hear him, Daddy loves you so much. I love you so much. I'm like, I always have to be the heavy, you know, like in this situation. But not withdrawing our love from them, for them knowing mom's heart is always open. She's disappointed, but her heart is always open. That's a good place to be in. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 10 talks about how when we trust God, and we don't try to manipulate and control people and control all the outcomes around us, when we do that, when we trust God, we are like a tree planted. And the Bible says the scorching heat of the day can come and the winds and the storms can come, but we stay anchored into him. And I want you to think about the last time you dealt with a parenting situation or you dealt with a relational situation where you stayed anchored because you trusted God. You knew that no matter what comes about, God, I know that no matter what happens, I'm anchored in you. I'm steadfast in you. When we operate like that, we give God full access and full control to use us to the biggest, best capacity that he can. We enlarge our own tent stakes when we do that because we've given him access and we've said to him, Lord, you can trust me. You put me in this situation. You can trust me with greater. So then he gives you 10 more kids back there. I'm kidding. The last thing is this. When a parent is walking in, a mom is walking in the strength of her character, she plays the long game. But when she's walking in the weakness of her character, she plays a short game. Let me tell you what I mean by this. The long game says, in 20 years from now, I want to have a relationship with this kid. The short game says, I'm going to beat the snot out of you in this moment because you are not doing what I've asked you to do. The long game says, Lord, I don't see what I want to see right now, but I know that you have called them, that you've anointed them, that you put your word inside of them, that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world, and that they're going to overcome. And enemy, I see you're trying to break this relationship right now, but I'm not going to let you have a foothold, and I'm going to stand firm in what you've called me to do. The short game says, get out of my face. I can't even look at you right now. The long game says, God, my child is struggling in school right now, and it's a big deal, and I'm frustrated, and I'm angry, and I'm mad. Lord, give me the words to say to encourage this child right now. It's the mom that your adult kids may not call you like you want them to call you, but you pick up the phone, and you say, hey, baby, can mommy take you to lunch? Hey, can we hang out today? You know why? Because in 25 years from now, I want a relationship with them. Here's how you know if you're still pursuing the heart of your child. Do you know who their friends are? Whether they're 70 years old, do you know who their friends are? Do you know what their interests are? Do you spend time with them? It doesn't matter how old they are. Do you pursue them? Grandmas, do you still pursue a relationship with your kids? We know you pursue grandbabies, but do you still pursue a relationship with your kids? These are the kind of things that make us open to being used by God in our kids' life so that they can see God's faithfulness throughout the generation. It's how we carry on a legacy. It's how we break those generational curses. Some of us, when we got older, our parents were like, not me. You know this is true. But some people, when you get older, it was like you didn't exist anymore. Only the grandbabies existed. I want to encourage you. If you're feeling that way, call your mom. Call your dad. Just tell them how much you love them. Pursue that relationship with your parents. Parents, pursue that relationship with your kids. Make sure that you are running after them, that you're showing them the heart of God, that you're teaching them. Still, you still have an influence. If you're alive, you have influence. God still is going to use you. I think one of the things that is, for me personally, that I've struggled with most is wanting to reap a fruit of a seed that I didn't plant in my kid's life. I want that. But the Lord is so gentle to remind me, but did you plant that? When Mia was little, I'm going to full disclosure here. When Mia was little, I had no idea what I was doing. No idea what I was doing. And the home that I grew up in was Italian. And what we did is, they overcorrected. They overcorrected. That's just what we did. They did. We did. Generationally. When you're a parent, what do? You pull from what you know. But at about probably, I think Mia was probably two, I was exhausted, frustrated, tired. I had spanked her in with everything I knew to spank her with in my arsenal of what I had learned growing up. And we had a parenting friend, very good friends of ours, who said, is that working? No, look at her. That's because it's not working, Misty. And he said to me, it was Donnie Flores, he's spoken here before, and he said to me, you have to find a way to bring correction without clipping her wings. And it literally tore me up on the inside because I realized that although I was using what I knew, it wasn't effective. And not only was it not effective at correcting the discipline or the issue, it was ineffective because it was not pointing her to Jesus in any way, shape, or form. And it definitely didn't show her the love of Jesus. So I had to make a decision in that moment. How am I going to parent this child? And if I relied on what I knew, it would have looked like verbal abuse, probably physical abuse. But we do the best that we can until we know better, and then we do better. And so I decided, okay, well, we need to take a parenting class. Richie's like, I'm fine. I'm like, I need to take a parenting class. So we take a biblical parenting class, and they gave us tools and resources to be able to walk it out with our kids. And it was one of the most helpful things. Parents, don't be afraid at any level to ask for help. Don't. Because if we rely on what we know, we just repeat generational curses. But when we dig into the word, when we get around community, when we ask for help, what we do is we build life. And then we teach our children, hey, wait a second. Maybe my parents don't have it figured out, but they keep going to Jesus, who probably does have it all figured out. And that's how we operate. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 through 11. I'm going to skip around a little bit, so follow with me. It says, but let us who live in the light. Before I start this, let me just say this. When was the last time that you as parents looked at our kids, we as parents looked at our kids like they were brothers and sisters in Christ? Because that's what they are. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And one day, if we're going to operate with them as brothers and sisters in Christ, we got to treat them like that. If we want a relationship with them in the long run, then we got to treat them like that. So filter these next couple of verses through the lens of, am I treating my child like a brother and sister in Christ? 1 Thessalonians 5:8-11 says this, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you already are doing. Drop down to verse 14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Warn them. Don't beat them. Warn them who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Read down, skip to verse 17. Never stop praying. Man, if that's not a parenting life lesson right there, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecy, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And this is how he ends that. He said, God will make this happen for you who are called because he is faithful. He's faithful. And if we treat our kids and if we treat our families like we're going to spend eternity with them, because we are, then we would parent differently. We would act differently. Because we would recognize that my kids have only been lent to me. They don't belong to me. And I can remember there was a time when Mia had said something. I'm using you a lot, baby. I'm sorry. I love you. And Mia had said something to me, and it really made me mad. And I was like, Lord. And he was quick to chastise. Misty, manage your disappointment in this moment right now. And it was this moment of, she was mine before she was yours. And I'm going to keep fighting for her. And it was this moment of, I just want to make pasta, God. I don't really want you to make me cry right now in this pasta. Because it was this moment of how he is so faithful to our enemies. And that could even be an enemy in our home at that moment. But he is so faithful to run after us and to chase our heart. And like Richie was saying today, sometimes, wives, we got to do what God has called us to do. And if our husbands are acting crazy, just submit to God. He's going to take care of it. But for us to act wild and nuts, start kicking stuff down, be crazy and nuts is not profitable. It's not profitable. It's not helpful. If y'all have ever seen me discipline my girls, not discipline, but if you've seen me correct my girls, I get real low. Look them eyeball to eyeball. And I whisper to them. Because in that moment, I want them to see right now, this is what's happening. I'm not screaming across the room. I'm not yelling in a parking lot. We're not acting crazy and wild, because ultimately, humiliation is not how God deals with us. He does not. He never has humiliated me. Never. And for us to do that for our children is an avenue of manipulation and control. And what we say is, I can't trust my mom and I can't trust God. My mom says she hears from God, so I can't trust him either. Whether you realize it or not, spiritual abuse is still a thing. And we have to be careful that we're exercising and that we are being grace agents with our kids. I had the privilege recently of walking with someone that I love very dearly through emotional health. And they started the Emotional Healthy book. And they were, you know, reading through it and crying, dealing with stuff, walking out their stuff. And I sent a prayer to this person. And I want to read it for you today. And this is how I'm closing today. And it says this: Holy Spirit, I feel the enemy trying to use the negative effects of my past right now. I ask that you silence every voice that makes me crippled to my shadow. In this moment, will you tell me how you feel about me? Let me know your thoughts towards me. I come against anything from my childhood that is hidden and causing me to feel abandoned. Will you reveal it to me so that it no longer has control over my mind, my will, and my emotions? I submit all that I am and who you have called me to be to you. Strengthen my inner man and cause me to put away childish thinking. Thank you that I will operate in the strength of my character and not the weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. That prayer that I prayed over my friend, I have had to pray over myself for years and years and years and years. Because if you know anything about us here, we are all about emotional health. Because our emotional health is what causes us to go to places, especially in our parenting, that we do not have any business going. So we got to deal with the stuff from our past so that we can be effective in our future. So that when God calls us and he's given us tiny humans to raise, that we can say, okay, God, I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I trust you above all else. And then I recognize in this moment I'm frustrated and I'm angry and some stuff from my past is trying to rear its ugly head, but I'm submitting all of that to you, and I'm going to step into what you've called me to do with my children at this moment, and I'm not going to rely on old patterns of the past. I'm not repeating generational curses, and I'm going to step out so that my kids can see you through me right now. Because at this moment, they might not understand at 8 and 13 what's happening. But when they look back and they have kids of their own, what my prayer is not that they say, like, man, my mom really messed up. But that they look back and they say, my mom didn't do it perfect, but she ran to Jesus. That's what we want as parents. So today, as we leave, I want you to think about, what am I doing right now that I need to probably change and make a little course correction? And then I want you to think about, what am I doing good right now? What are the things that I'm doing right now that are really effective? And let's do more of those things. Let's do more of those things. If you are awesome at calling your kids and checking in and pursuing their heart, keep doing that. Run after them. If you need to make a little course correction and, you know what, I need to set my alarm that once a week I at least check in with my kids, let's do that. If I need to stop screaming and hollering, I need to do that. If I need to get real close when I bring correction, do that. I've gone nose to nose with Lex sometimes. Just get right in there. And I'm like, mommy loves you, but you're acting wild. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes God does that with us, where he gets real quiet, whispers in our ear, hey, you look a little nuts. I love you, but you're nuts. Sometimes he has to speak to us like that. Think about that. If we're going to live as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's how we want to pursue our kids. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, God. I thank you for your presence, your anointing. God, I thank you for bringing a word today, God, that we all need. We all need it. Lord, we are in need of your grace for this day and every day. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so faithful to gently correct us, Father God. Lord, I thank you that you have never been abusive. You have never been harsh. You've been disappointed, but you have never been abusive, God. And I thank you that even now, as I pray, Lord, I thank you that you are revealing areas where we need to grow, where we need to put away childish things, and that we need to step into what you've called us to do. It's not the easiest way, but it's the most effective way. Lord, we thank you that 25 years from now, when our kids are adults, or older adults, or old adults, God, I pray that we would still pursue their heart. Lord, teach us to run after our kids, to run after our grandkids, to be the grace agents that you've called us to be, and to live in such a way that we do not give in to the ways of the enemy anymore. We come against generational curses. We come against every assignment of the enemy. We tear down every stronghold. And we thank you that we're going to live in such a way, God, that everything in our life is going to bring you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.